Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Dear gas prices, go take a hike. Toyota is the number one retail brand for electrified vehicles for 22 years. The Toyota hybrid lineup brings efficiency with power and savings with style. Not to mention top tech to help keep you connected. Plush premium interiors and the most advanced Toyota safety features. So, now you know who you're talking to. Toyota. The number one retail brand for electrified vehicles for 22 years. With a hybrid or electric vehicle built for every driver. Seriously, dear gas prices? Do you really think you can stand in our way? Think again. Toyota hybrids. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
Based on manufacturer estimates, CY 2000 through 2021 sales.
It's the bluest room in town. Yeah, they're actually funny, and you guess the sound. Through the ups and the downs, yeah, they'll be there waiting for the next time round. You can find out what it means. Everton will break your heart, but they're still your team. It's far from doom and gloom, so tune in now and get involved with the Blue Room.
It is your weekly show here on the Blue Room. It's your international break edition. We're recording this before England play San Marino a little bit later. So by the time it goes out, Dominic Calvert-Lewin could have scored a hat-trick, could have scored 6-10 goals. Who knows if he plays in that game? But we'll have to wait and see on that. But joining me to have a chat about all things Everton, Sarah Halpin and Pete McFarlane. How are you guys doing? You okay?
Yeah, all good here. I think we were just chatting a little bit off air, weren't we, saying hopefully things will start to get a bit back to normal soon. I think like having a little glimpse of that sort of spring weather coming in and stuff like that, and the thought that maybe in a few months' time we'll all be able to be together. And yeah, so doing okay. Looking forward to brighter days.
How about you, Pete?
Yeah, I'm absolutely, you know, I'm okay at the moment. I'm buzzing with the good weather because I've finally been able to get out in the garden and do a bit, you know. I need something to keep me occupied whenever now I'm playing. So it's been great. But as Sarah said, it's just I feel like we're on the home straight now, and hopefully within the next month or so we can get back to some kind of normality.
I think last time you were on, Pete, or maybe the time before last, you were telling us about the Christmas lights you effectively have on your dog when you go for a walk. I mean, has that been shelved now because the days are getting a bit longer, or is he still walking around like a big Christmas decoration?
Oh, he's still walking around with big blue flashing lights on him. Yeah. of course he is. Especially when we win, and or if Liverpool lose, of course he's going to be having the flashing blue lights. Yeah.
representing, absolutely. We are going to speak to the guys a lot about Everton Women and the Women's Super League. Obviously, big news this week in regards to the TV deal. We'll be speaking about that to start the show. We'll also have a chat about the England squad. No Michael Keane, no Ben Godfrey. Ben Godfrey was in action today along with Tom Davis for England under-21s against Switzerland under-21s, and they got beat 1-0. We'll have a chat about James Rodriguez as well. He was back in training, and also about some of the mad WhatsApp stuff that's been doing the rounds this week, which I think probably made a few people laugh when it was about Mashiri getting arrested and all those kinds of things, but has got, unfortunately, a bit more serious with some of the stuff that's being shared this week as well. So we'll finish off by chatting about that. But like I said, massive news for the women's game this week, guys. The BBC and Sky confirmed on Monday that they've agreed effectively a three-year deal. Matches will be shown on both platforms. The BBC are going to be doing 22 live matches with a minimum of 18 being shown on BBC One and BBC Two. Sky will provide coverage up to 44 matches. That's going to be across the main events, Premier League and Sky Sports Football channels. The agreement's going until 2024. Obviously, both of you are hugely involved in women's football. I'll come to you first, Pete. How big a deal is this for the women's game, do you think?
I think it's massive. It's huge, certainly in terms of the exposure that it brings. You know, once Sky Sports start getting involved with broadcasting matches, the level of exposure goes up exponentially. So I think it's huge for the league. Obviously, it brings with it the financial benefits of extra money as well, which hopefully can go back towards the clubs to carry on building. Because, you know, the women's football, it's been growing so rapidly over the last few years. The quality of it is absolutely incredible. And I'm just delighted to sort of have been in a position to be able to watch the progress, certainly of Everton in particular.
You know, obviously, Sarah, people can watch the games now on the WSL player, and you know, BT Sports have sort of dipped the toe in it on occasions as well. But I think Sky, obviously, as Pete said, are a juggernaut in the industry and will, you know, put a lot of backing behind this. But I think that the one that's probably most important to me is the free-to-air and BBC sort of getting involved in it as well. I mean, that is enormous, isn't it, to have that many matches on over the course of a season where anybody can watch it in the country. It's huge.
Yeah, it is. It's massive and such great news, as you said. With Sky, as you said, it's massive and they're going to 44 games, main event, all the rest of it. So the visibility is going to be massive. But again, the fact you've got the free-to-air, as you said, so it's accessible to anybody. There's going to be a game on, I think it's every weekend, there'll be a WSL game shown on BBC. So it just becomes then consistent as well. And, you know, an expected thing. People can turn on the telly and know that they're going to have a footy match that they can access and that they can watch every weekend. And, you know, I think the visibility of it growing is massive. The FA player, I think, has been absolutely fantastic in allowing people to watch the games. But, you know, if it's there, you're flicking through telly, it's on. You're going through Sky, it's on. People just get used to it being on. And I think even then there's some people who are just desperate not to get on board and desperate not to like it. But I think the fact if it's there and people are watching it and realising how technically impressive these girls are and this league is, it's improving all the time. And it's only going to improve technically all the time now with this investment. But yeah, you know, for young girls as well watching and it just being normal to see professional female footballers on their televisions every weekend is massive. You know, even when I was a kid, there was nothing like there is now in terms of seeing, there wasn't really your professional women's footballers. It was, you know, the odd one maybe then in different countries, or you get at the very best semi-pro. Now these girls will be seeing on their tellies, look, all these are professional footballers. And if I want to do that, I can do that. And instead of just looking at the men's footballing world and having players to look up to and admire, they've got, you know, also now female footballers that they can look up to and admire and go, you know, I want to be like me, Damar, when I grow up or whoever. And I just think it's absolutely brilliant. So, you know, credit to BBC and to Sky, because I think it's going to be huge for the game.
And I suppose as well, so, you know, I'll come straight back to you on this one. You know, these are ultimately the two biggest sports broadcasters in the country. And if they didn't think there was value in doing this, you know, they're not doing it for a charity or, you know, patting anybody on the head. They, you know, they are ruthless businesses at the end of the day. So it's clear that they've seen the value in this and believe that it's got, you know, a long shelf life and room to get even bigger.
Yeah, definitely. As you say, it's very, you don't get huge broadcasting in companies doing charity like that. Ultimately, they're businesses and they're in it to make money. So yeah, they will have looked at, you know, in women's sport, how big like women's basketball is in America, how big women's football or women's soccer is in America. And, you know, it's huge. They when they have crowds, it's normal to have sort of 20 plus thousand people for every game, and the viewing figures are massive, and they're expected that this is going to far surpass that. That's the aim, is that this deal is going to help women's football and this league in particular go on to be the most watched, the most successful, most popular of women's sporting leagues. And yeah, that is just absolutely massive. And as I said, it's the visibility. I think sometimes people aren't into it and aren't following it because they haven't necessarily got the means of watching it or don't know how to go about watching it. I think we've seen in recent years, even on social media and stuff, and yes, there's still a long way to go, but I think clubs are improving their sort of broadcasting of it, trying to get people involved, but there's only so far that can take you, you know, if it's not accessible. And the fact now it is going to be on every weekend on the biggest sporting channels in this country is just huge. And as you said, yeah, they've obviously seen something in it and think it goes both ways, doesn't it? The investment brings the attention, yeah, and the money, and so that improves it. And yeah, I think this, you know, over the next few years we're going to see women's football absolutely skyrocket, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, and I seen on Monday when this was announced, Pete, that, you know, Sky did a lot of interviews of a lot of different players and managers from different clubs. And I think the one that really struck with me is from Steph Horton, who said that she was sort of looking forward to being criticised and, you know, having the team sort of, you know, pulled apart when they're not playing well, you know. And I think she was sort of intimating that, you know, that's something that happens, you know, if Man United play terribly, you know, that Gary Neville and Roy Keane are going to get stuck into them because, you know, they're invested in that and, you know, they're saying it as they see it. And I think she was sort of saying that there maybe isn't enough of that in the women's game. And she was sort of saying, well, you know, it might mean I have to take a bit of criticism every now and then, but I want to see our sport and our game analysed with that kind of ruthless edge too.
Absolutely. And I think certainly with criticism and analysis, that's a great way to improve. It's a great way to improve how you play. It's a great way to identify weaknesses. It's a great way to build your side and build your team and build your own your own skill set. So I think, yeah, I mean, I can totally understand what Steph Orton's saying. I mean, Steph Orton is a winner. You know, she's been absolutely phenomenal for Manchester City for a number of years now, and England as well. She's been brilliant. So I'm sure she is the type of person who would fully embrace any kind of criticism, because I feel like she wants to prove that criticism wrong or learn from it. So yeah, any kind of analysis which can help to improve the game, it can only be seen as a good thing. It's such a massive positive.
Yeah, and Sarah, have you spoken to any of the girls about it? Yeah, what's their feelings been on it?
Yeah, I've spoken to a few of the girls about it, and they're just absolutely delighted. I think, you know, for them as well, the work they put in is, they're professional footballers. They train at Finch Farm. They work at Finch Farm. They put in so much hard work every week, building up, you know, to the game tactically, and they're putting in the hours on the pitch. Everyone, the staff, the players, everybody works so hard, and they're doing the same job as what Carlo Ancelotti and the team are doing. It's you know, it's a different league. It's because they're a different gender. It's women's, not men's, but it's the same. It's exactly the same. And, you know, I think the visibility that you can't turn on a telly without seeing a Premier League footballer, or turn on the radio without hearing Premier League footballer or manager being interviewed, etc. And I just think it's high time that, you know, the girls got more of a spotlight on them, and they can go out every week knowing that there's so many people watching and that they're growing the game, and just, yeah, that their stage has just got a lot bigger, and that's what they deserve to be doing. And I think, you know, they take such a pride in knowing that they're role models, and now there's going to be so many young girls watching them, and week in, week out, they're going to be their heroes. And as I said, like, normalizing having it on TV, and just seeing that all the time. So yeah, the girls are made up, and you know, of course, what that brings in terms of investment as well, it's huge for the women's game. So yeah, everyone's really excited, and I'm sure, you know, like Steph had said as well about the criticism and stuff coming in, I'm sure that's something that will happen, and as it grows, and something that they'll welcome as well, and hopefully will thrive with that sort of added pressure too.
Yeah, can't wait for it all. I mean, I don't know the answers, as none of you guys have any idea, but with this schedule, with this new TV deal, will there be a more of a defined schedule for when the girls play? Because, you know, at the moment the fixtures are very much scattergun, aren't they, and sort of revolve around, you know, when matches can be played, you know, when pitches are available, that kind of thing. Will this deal sort of, do you know, like, say when, like, there's a normal Premier League schedule on, you know, there's going to be a 12:30 game, a 3 o'clock game, a 5:30 game. Will this deal sort of usher in anything like that? Have they said anything like that? Yeah.
I think one thing you might see is that the, certainly for stadiums which have struggled to get games on, I think you'll see a lot more games played at the bigger stadiums. So, for example, Everton Women playing at Goodison Park. Not that that's been confirmed, but Manchester United are playing at Old Trafford this weekend, I believe, Manchester United Women. So I think that's something that you might see a lot more often, certainly with the TV schedule to be kept to. Sky don't like matches being called off. And certainly with some of the standard of some of the pitches, yeah, it has been an issue. So I think to make sure that that's ring-fenced and to sort of, you know, try to negate that possibility of the games being called off, I think that they'll probably, you know, change venue for some of the games.
Yeah, and I think that's something we've actually spoken about before, Pete, on this show. You know, there's so much that's getting better about the women's game and improving, but there are aspects of it still which are lagging behind. That I suppose that's something that this is going to do, isn't it? Like you said, you know, Sky aren't going to stand for a product they've paid a lot of money for being called off because there's a bit of rain. I suppose it's going to encourage everyone, this, to sort of raise standards across the board, isn't it?
Absolutely. And again, that might be part of when the TV revenue money does come in, it might be something that the league look at, where they insist that the teams must have a standard of pitch and a, you know, a proper drainage system or under soil heat or whatever it may be. And you know, we've seen this season Birmingham City, unfortunately, their ground has now been deemed unfit for the WSL, and they're now playing at St George's Park in Birmingham. So, you know, that was sort of taken out of their hands because of the amount of games that were being called off. So, yeah, I think it is something that is going to be looked at, certainly over the summer. I mean, it used to be that the women's league was played in the summer months, which obviously helped with the pitch conditions, but with them wanting to have the fixtures played at the same time as the men's in a regular season sort of time, I think it's essential that the pitches are properly prepared and the standards are kept.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing but positive news on that front. Can't wait to see how it goes in that sense. Before we move on, let's have a chat about the team and how things have been going as of late then. A bit of a mixed bag, Sarah, if we're being honest. Great win against Tottenham, and then a defeat to Manchester City. Great win against Birmingham, and then a defeat to Chelsea. It just feels as though, and I feel like whenever you've come on recently and we've spoken about the girls, we've been saying this, that since that FA Cup final and the loss and having to come back into a season after that, it just feels like they've really struggled to just gain and gather any sort of momentum.
Yeah, I think one of the things that hasn't helped either, and just going back to that thing about pitches, we were saying, you know, there's been a couple of times where I've travelled down with the team and literally, you know, away, and it within hours of the game taking place, supposedly it's been called off because of pitches and problems. We've had that a few reasons while games have been, you know, missed, and then we've had games in hand, and you know, you might then play for a month and it's hard to gain any kind of momentum. And then, you know, with such a great win, we had a good win away at Spurs, followed that up with a really narrow loss to Manchester City. And the girls were so unlucky there. You know, it was with about 10 minutes or so to go, maybe less than that, away against, you know, one of the favourites to win the title. And it took a really good strike to stop us getting a point there. Then a really good win, 4-0 away at Birmingham, and a really positive display. But then, unfortunately, our next game was Chelsea, who yesterday beat Wolfsburg 2-1 in the Champions League. You know, they are just absolutely superb. A few days before they played us, they won a cup final 6-0. So Chelsea are just... That game kind of, in comparison, is maybe like when you're looking... And we had beat Chelsea earlier in the season, of course, in the quarterfinal at Goodison Park, but they really are just flying now. It's a bit like when we were heading into the quarterfinal against Manchester City, the men's, and you think, for us to get anything here, they're going to have a bit of an off day and we're going to have to be at our absolute best, because they've just got so, so much strength in that team and they're just really in their form. But... you know, we are headed into games against Manchester City and against Chelsea and believing that we can get results from it. I just think maybe this season, the amount of new players that have come in, the change, it's going to take a little while for everything to click. And I think we've really closed the gap on those teams like, you know, Arsenal, City, Chelsea. A couple of seasons ago, we were nowhere near them. And now we are, you know, the best of the rest, and we don't want to be the best of the rest. We want to be in amongst that. And I think going forward, and certainly next season, see what business we do over the summer, but we'll really try and get out of the rest and be in it. But yeah, it's been frustrating. And I think a lot of that is just to do with the fact that we had two of the toughest games thrown in amongst. So win, loss. But yeah, our next game is absolutely massive. We've got to finish the season strong. And I think going forward next season, like I said, see what they do in the summer, see who we bring in. But I think, you know, every season we're getting a little bit closer to that, and we should really push on.
Yeah, it's actually quite a big game, the next one, isn't it? Brighton away. You were in great form, but they've won the last five in a row, haven't they, in the league? So,
yeah, this weekend we've got them on Sunday, and I'm hoping we can kind of bring the clouds with us to sunny Brighton and stop their nice run of, because they've been absolutely flying. You know, Hope Powell's brilliant manager, just got manager of the month for the previous month, but they're a tough side, Brighton, but I do fancy the Blues to go there and rain on their parade, and I hope we do.
Yeah, it feels sort of, they're in like a bit of a weird position as well, Pete, aren't they? Because, you know, early in the season, like, they could maybe be in the mix for that top three. It's not quite happened. They're not going to get sucked down into a battle for, you know, staying in the top half or anywhere near relegation like that. So it's sort of like they're in limbo a bit, aren't they, between now and the end of the season. And it must be hard to sort of continue getting up for these games when there's no crowd, when matches are getting called off, when players are getting injured and coming in and out. It must be quite hard to maintain any sort of stability and motivation at the moment.
Well, I think the motivation has got to be, you know, like Sarah touched on about us being the best of the rest. I still think that is enough motivation for the players to want to give everything for the last few games, certainly in terms of keeping their place in the squad for next season, because everyone can see that Everton are improving so much. I mean, the improvements over the last two seasons has been incredible, and we're only going to get better. So those players will want to be a part of that. So no one's going to want to let up, because, you know, their place might be under threat. I don't think that the Everton board are going to be, you know, resting on the laurels and thinking that, you know, we're done in terms of transfer business. I think that it's going to be a huge summer again for us. So I think it's up to the players now to prove
especially
themselves.
With the deal coming, as we mentioned, you know, they're going to want to showcase themselves the best way they can on this world stage, aren't they?
Absolutely. And that's it. And, you know, the players have stepped up this season. A lot of players have been absolutely, you know, incredible. They've been very unlucky with some of the results as well. I think, you know, the win was taken out of our sails a bit after the FA Cup final. We suffered with a few injuries, the winter break, the cancelled games. These are things that other teams have had to deal with as well. So it's not just on Everton, but I really do think it did affect us. I think going into next season, it's going to be a case of expanding the squad, looking at the areas that we really need to improve on. And teams like Manchester City and Chelsea, because of their squad, because of the different players that they've got, because of the different formations and systems they can play, that's why they're able to change matches, and that's why they're a constant threat. I think that that's the way Everton need to go. They need to flesh out the squad, add different dimensions to their play, and hopefully next season we can hit the ground running.
Yeah, and just before we move on to have a chat about the lads and what's been going on, the really positive news over the last couple of weeks, you said there, Pete, about, you know, fleshing out the squad. It looks as though we've got two really important players that are sticking around for a while. Yeah, Lucy Graham and Sandy McKeever signing new contracts in the last couple of weeks. Massive news and really positive news for them.
Absolutely. Sandy McKeever, I mean, if she doesn't go on to being a number one, I'll be totally surprised by that. I think she's absolutely incredible. Since she came in, she's been brilliant. She's only a young kid. At the time when we signed her, I wasn't sure it was necessarily a position that we needed to strengthen. But from the second she came in, she's just proven her quality, and she's only got better. Her performance in the FA Cup final was unbelievable. There was no way she deserved to concede three goals after extra time. It was just she was just a phenomenal. It was a phenomenal performance. And Lucy Graham has been, you know, the epitome of what, you know, any Evertonian would want to see in a player. She's a captain. She's a leader. She scores vital goals. And she, you know, she's a true Everton player. So to see both of those sign, you know, to extend their stay at the club, it's massive for us, and it shows that intent that the club have to keep building on what we've got and to improve.
Yeah, and Willie Kirk, sir, is saying that Sandy should be looking to become the best goalkeeper in the world. So no pressure on her there then, anyway.
Absolutely, no, I love that, and. Go out and be the best in the world. No, I love that. I think, you know, that should be the mentality of everyone at Everton. I think I love that, and she very easily could do, Matt, as Pete was just saying. You know, she's been superb. I think the FA Cup final just sort of epitomizes everything about her. She's wonderful, and to have her long-term future penned to the club is huge, because I think she could, you know, there'd be all kinds of clubs circling, looking at her and thinking, yeah, you know, young, probably future England number one for many years. So yeah, to have her penned to the club for the next couple of years. Lucy Graham as well, fantastic, couldn't speak more highly of her. And Izzy Christiansen as well, you know, those are three big players to know that we've got for the next couple of years. And of course, the manager, Willie Kirk as well. So we're definitely building something here. And the fact that these players are, you know, penning their futures to us, it shows. I was speaking to Izzy last week, and she was saying, you know, with everything, and Lucy the same, with everything that's going on at the moment at the club, why wouldn't we want to be a part of that? And I think that's fantastic. And, you know, that was before this deal come in as well. So yeah, it's just really, really exciting, and want to finish this season strong. And trying to, you know, like Pete said, people are going to be wanting to fight and show what they can do. But I'm so excited for next season. And when fans are back at Walton Hall Park as well, I just think for the players, that's going to be huge. It must be hard to go out there and play with that. We see as fans what it does. And I just can't wait for next season for us all to be there and hopefully right up the top, challenging for things again with the best players in the world.
Absolutely. Best goalkeeper in the world, potentially, certainly. Just imagine Willie saying that as well in his Scottish accent, very casually, like, yeah, just go and be the best goalie in the world. it's absolutely nothing whatsoever. But just forgive my ignorance potentially here, guys, as well, but 2-year deals, is that sort of more commonplace in the men's game? Because suppose if you had players of that age, you know, in the men's squad, and, you know, the key part, you'd be looking to tie them down for 4 or 5 at least. Is that just sort of a standard amount, is it, for the girls?
Yeah, I mean, I think over the, you know, you haven't really seen contracts, big long-term contracts like that in the women's game. I don't know if it's because the league's smaller as well, there's less games and stuff like that, but maybe as it grows, and we, you know, the girls often talk about as well that we want the league to grow, so, you know, that it is more competitive and there's more games and there's not as many gaps between games and stuff. So I would say that's probably one of the main reasons why as well. Yeah,
it's another thing to bear in mind as well is that it might be down to the fact that the players have a strong negotiating stance. If the league's growing and more money's going to be coming in over the next few years, then they don't want to commit themselves to a 5-year deal if it means that in 2 years they would have been entitled to a pay rise if more money was getting pumped into the league.
So there's
two ways of looking at it. I can see that the club would want to tie down a player, but unless you're paying them top money, you know, it makes sense for the player to commit their shorter term future than they would do in the men's game.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you? You know, the money in it could go through the roof, couldn't they, in the next couple of years with what's going on. So, exciting nonetheless. Great to have those players tied down. Let's change tact a little bit to speaking about the lads. James Rodriguez has been trending on Twitter today for the wrong reasons, you could say, but, you know, some positive stuff as well, and seeing him back in training. Let's have a chat about that first. Sarah, I'll come to you. I've just missed watching this lad play footy. It's bizarre to think that he's not kicked a ball in anger competitively for us since the Merseyside derby when he broke the game open with that lovely pass. And I think there's been some talk about him since then, obviously probably more out of frustration that he's not playing, and you can see how much we've missed him. But it feels as though this little 2 week break and him being back in training and hopefully refreshed coming into the last 10 games of the season, it could be a really critical period for him and subsequently us.
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't half missed him, have we? As you said, you know, the derby, he just cut Liverpool apart within the first couple of minutes with that pass, and the rest is history. And, you know, I think it's safe to say that we've been pretty lackluster since. Obviously it was massive to beat Southampton at home, it was massive to beat West Brom because those are the games that you need to be getting over the line. But, you know, we've unfortunately out the cup. We had to have him for that game, we had to have Decore for that game without a shadow of a doubt to stand a chance. We lost the Burnley game and I think games like that Burnley game where we need a little bit of something. And I know there'll probably be fans listening and saying, oh, it's those games where, you know, sometimes he doesn't show up. But for me, James has just been an absolute revelation for us. And yes, he's missed a few games through injury, etc. But what he can do is just what nobody else for Everton can do. And he can pick that pass. We saw it in the reverse fixture against Burnley where Guilfi should score and we should win the game. So many times he will create that chance in a game that will be the difference. And, you know, we've missed him massively. To have him back, because obviously Decore missing is huge. We're going to miss him tremendously for the remainder of the season. A different, entirely different kind of player. But to have James back in with his quality and his world class and his ability to turn a game on its head with just one touch of the ball, it's massive. It's got to be massive for players like Calvert-Lewin, who's maybe struggled a bit because he's not had as much creativity around him in recent weeks. So, yeah, it's huge, and we really need to fight for everything tooth and nail in this last 10 games, because I don't think we will get top four, but we could still get top four. We have to get Europe. We have to be in Europe next season.
Yeah, it sort of feels like, to me, Peter, if he plays 8 of the last 10 games, James, then I feel like, you know, I feel very confident about us being in top 6, top 7, you know, maybe pushing up towards that top four place. But if he plays 2 or 3, then all of a sudden you're panicking, thinking, where's that creativity coming from, aren't you?
Absolutely. And the thing about him as well, even in a game when he's quiet, you know, you might have a game where it's tight and he can just unlock the defence. He can just one pass, one little bit of vision. I mean, you see that he brings the best out of the players around him as well. So the likes of Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin, they know that they can make the runs because he's got the ability to play that pass. They can gamble on taking a run. Whereas I feel like sometimes when we don't have James in the side, we don't seem to create as much. Obviously we don't create as much because he's not there, but we don't seem to have that threat. We seem very one-dimensional a lot of the time, but I think he just adds that little extra element. So yeah, if we can keep him fit for the last 10 games, like you say, if he plays eight of those games, you'd fancy our chances certainly to finish in the European places, if not try and make a final assault on that top four.
Yeah, it feels as though the club have sort of made a good decision with this, Sarah, by just holding him back. Because I think the manager sort of said ahead of the game against Burnley and the game against, who did we play before that, Chelsea, he sort of hinted that he's going to be back very soon. He's going to be back very soon. And then before the Burnley game, he was just like, well, he's not really been fit for a while, so we're just going to give him the next game off, and then he's got 2 weeks as well. I think it feels like he's sort of been playing with an injury since Christmas, and we've been, you know, getting him by, and he's been coming off, you know, before the hour mark, and maybe just giving him that full time to get back to 100% instead of saying, let's have a half for James Rodriguez for an hour in the odd game here and there. It feels like that's probably a clever move on behalf of the club and Carlo.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you've just said it there, Matt, if James plays 8 of the last 10 games, you feel quite confident that we'll, you know, win the majority of them. And I'd rather now be, as you said, going into the home stretch, if you like, that final home run of fixtures, knowing that we've got him and he's going to be available for every game, and not that we're going to have to bring him off after 60 minutes or bring him on for the last half an hour if we're trying to chase a game and make something happen. You'd rather know he's going to be there, he's going to be available at any time for the manager in the final stages of this season, because I mean, if you're any of the teams that we've got coming up, how are you going to feel facing Everton with James or without him? It's going to make a big difference. If you see James Rodriguez in the opposition, you're automatically always having to think about him. He's always going to be there. And I think, you know, we just look a more dangerous outfit, of course, with him in. He's one of the best in the world. So, yeah, definitely, I'll take that all day. If Carlo's thought, you know what, let's give him a miss for a game or two, and that means then he can rest and recover, and he's back, he's firing, he's fully fit, he's sharp, he's ready to go. So yeah, smart for me if that's the way they've done it. You'd rather that than the same every week, he's out the squad again. Oh, he's, yeah,
it's just such a relief that not going on international duty, because you know for a fact he would have gone away with Colombia and played in those World Cup qualifying games. So just
come
made
back
up
in it was a big, like, you know, like in cartoons where they're just completely covered in like bandages and you can just see their eyes. Like, that's all I ever think about when like our players go away on international duty. I'm dreading this San Marino game because Calvert-Lewin will probably score 10 and come back injured or something. So, oh gosh.
Three games, isn't it, in the space of 6 days for England?
Oh, don't.
Oh, absolutely mad. Absolutely mad. But yeah, great to see him back in training with a smile on his face. Like I said, unfortunately, there was he was trending on Twitter for all the wrong reasons today. I won't give any airtime to what was being said. I'm sure everybody's seen it. It was horrible. And I thought, you know, this sort of followed Pete's, you know, some quite a string of mad WhatsApp rumours, which I think we've all seen, you know, reference some of them at the start, which you can just go, oh my God, that's ridiculous in regards to, you know, Farhad Moshiri, Joe Anderson, or what's going on at the moment. And, you know, you can brush off as Reds being mischievous and stuff like that. But the Rodriguez one that's been going around today, I think there was much as, again, you know, we were speaking before we came on air, and we sort of saying that initially we all sort of rolled our eyes on it and got, oh, it's another one. But I think the more it's circulated, the more people have talked about it, it's, you know, actually quite hurtful. And it's nice to see a lot of people sort of calling this out and saying, you know, enough of this now. It's really not on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it, the danger of social media is that things get spread so quickly, and people just have to, firstly, they have to, you know, be sensible, take a step back and make their own mind up as to what is true and what is false. I think it's pretty obvious that the James message that has gone around, you know, was in some sort of response to you know, what had gone around about Bramley Moore. People had obviously decided that it was something to try and get a cheap laugh or to try and wind people up about. Unfortunately, it opens up a floodgate. It opens up the floodgates in terms of the replies and the responses and you know, the sort of you know, the transphobic comments that have been made. I think people have just got to be so careful these days in terms of social media. You know, I was saying beforehand, it's not like you can say a throwaway comment and, you know, only your mates are going to hear it. If you put something on social media, you don't know who's going to see it and who's going to be offended by it and who's going to be hurt by it. So I think people just need to take a step back. And you might think it's funny between you and your mates. Well, it's not between you and your mates when you're putting it out, and potentially thousands of people are going to see it. So I think people just need to just take a step back. And this whole thing about when these sort of rumours go around, it's the same with transfer rumours. People, they sort of make something up which kind of fits a narrative, and people just sort of go, it snowballs then. People, it gets shared between one after another amongst WhatsApp groups. The next thing, it comes back to you. You've seen it 100 times. People start taking it for gospel. So, you know, I could turn around now and say, oh, I've heard a rumour that Man City want to sign Ben Godfrey. Financial fair play has been relaxed, so they're going to sign Ben Godfrey and give us Nathan Ake in you know, in part exchange plus 80 million. I could say that. Now, people could listen to that and take it as gospel. They could say, oh, well, apparently Man City want Ben Godfrey. The next thing, people are kicking off at the club. It's, but this, what's happened with James Rodriguez is on a different level, because it's not just a silly transfer rumour or a silly sort of nonsensical thing about you know, the Bramley Moor docks. It's something which is potentially going to be hurtful for people who are going to be reading this and reading the replies to it as well.
Yeah, divvies, aren't they, Sarah? Anyone sharing that sort of thing?
Divvies, exactly. Bad divvies. No, it's exactly right. I think, you know, it's easy to say these things and people even give them a little cheap laugh sometimes without even actually thinking into what it is that they're laughing at. And, you know, that's, you've just got to be so careful. The ignorance in some of the comments is quite staggering. And you think about people reading them that, you know, are transitioning or are part of the LGBT community, etc., that might be not have come out and be terrified to, because they see the kind of things that people are saying, and something that's just meant to be a bit of a joke and a bit of fun to them could be so damaging, where we all know the power of social media. And, you know, it sadly takes somebody to die or commit suicide. I know it's a dark way to take this, but it takes something like that to happen for everyone to go hashtag be kind, hashtag da 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 da. Like, we'll just be like that. Like, and then people, hopefully, you know, it wouldn't get to the stage where stuff like that's happening. It just, again, it shows that so much needs to be done on social media in terms of, you know, Twitter and all these, not just Twitter, all the different platforms, in probably stopping this stuff getting out and circulating or whatever, or taking it down. I don't know, because it's, once it's out there, it's out there. And yeah, I went off on one there, but yeah, divvies, stop it.
No, it's absolutely fair enough. You know, I've seen a lot of horrible comments about it today. You know, I've seen people like Hannah Farrell been speaking about it on Twitter today, and some ridiculous responses to her. But I think in the main, people have realised that it's quite serious and they're knocking it on the head. So if you get that message from anyone, just don't share it. Don't give it the time of day or anything like that. But last thing before we go, guys, obviously you mentioned that Ben Godfrey played today for England under 21s. They got beat by Switzerland under the astute and visionary stewardship of Adi Bouffroyd, who, I mean, that's a mad one. Yeah, I don't get that, why he's in charge of England under 21s. But looking ahead to the summer, Pete, is he someone, do you think, that should be in the senior squad for England? Because, you know, I think I'm sure you guys share these opinions. Not really fussed whether he is or he isn't, but I'm sure the lad himself will have those ambitions. But you sort of look at the way he's playing at the moment, the way he played against Manchester City at the weekend, and I think you could probably say that it's him and one or two others in the Everton defence at the moment. And with that in mind, he's got to be getting close.
He's certainly got to be getting close. And alongside Michael Keane, I think the two of them have been you know, superb. Ben Godfrey, though, I mean, it's the different aspects of his game that he offers as well, which is different to a lot of the players that England have called up. When you look at Connor Cody and Tyrone Mings and Harry Maguire, for example, I mean, the three very similar players. I think that Ben Godfrey, one, he can play across the entire back four. I think the pace of him and the confidence he's got on the ball, I think he just adds another dimension. You know, when you look at people like Eric Dyer, who seem to be, you know, bulletproof when it comes to getting a call up for England, he just seems to he's like one of the first names on the sheet.
Doesn't matter, like the new Fabian Delph, isn't he?
Yeah,
Delph used to find a way into the squad, didn't he, for some reason?
Dyer's Owen Hargreaves. Owen Hargreaves got about 80 caps. He played about 10 minutes. But I think it's probably going to be a bit too soon for him. If he was going to potentially get a call for the summer, I think this was the squad he would have been called up to, even just to train with the players and so that Southgate could have a close look at him. But he's certainly a future England centre half. He's got everything in his locker, hasn't he? But yeah, I'm like you just said, I'm not too fussed if he doesn't go.
Yeah. Just one other thing on Godfrey, sir. I've heard a rumour that City are looking at him and apparently going to offer us 80 million plus Nathan Ake. So that's something to worry about, isn't it?
I just sent you that about 5 minutes ago, didn't I?
People need to stop spreading these ridiculous rumours around, don't they?
Do you know what, though? On that selection, I've got to say, absolutely mind-boggled about Godfrey and Michael Keane not getting in. Shocked. I mean, like you guys, I'm not particularly interested. You're happy for the player because you know what it means to them to go out and represent their country. So you're pleased for them when they get selected. But yeah, I think it's only Southgate's game. Like, you've got two of the best centre backs in the league, in the Premier League, all season, both English, and you've not picked them. I don't understand that. But you know, I know Ben's gone into the under-21s, so you know, fair enough on that. But I just don't understand why you wouldn't pick him. Like, he surely at this moment in time would get into pretty well any team in the world. So I don't understand why he hasn't been picked, but definitely, like Pete said, I can see him going on to represent England's, you know, senior team time and again over the future. He's got a massive, massive international career ahead of him and club career with Everton, not Manchester City.
yeah, fingers crossed. Looking forward to watching Nathan Ake next season.
Do you know what? I've always liked him. You think how badly we were crying out for strong centre backs like not so long ago. We didn't have a defence, and now like you've got Michael Keane, Godfrey, Yerry Mina, Holgate. Oh, it's great, isn't it?
We've been linked to Koulibaly as well, as it was.
Oh, Ake, Bailey, they're all coming,
There we go. They're all on the way to Goodison Park. So long, Ben. It's been a good year, mate. But we're all good things come to an end.
What have I started here?
There you go. That's it. Now it'll be on the news now later when I'm looking for stories. You know. Rumour from the Blue Room.
You can use that little clip on Twitter, see how long it takes to get around.
Yeah, someone with smart editing skills will make it look legit. But yeah, people will be DMing you, mate, and all sorts. Watch.
They're like, he said that too convincingly. He's heard something, that lad. He's heard something that we haven't.
Why are you doing a big wink at the camera piece? What's going on there? But yeah, we'll leave it there. We are out of time. Cheers to Sarah. Cheers to our new Blue Room ITK, Pete McFarlane, as well. I'll have to get you back on during the transfer season, mate. But thanks very much for tuning in. As ever, if you want to hear more from us, multiple Everton shows every weekday, come and join us on the Blue Room Extra. It's patreon.com/theBlueRoomExtra. We've got all sorts coming up this week. Mailbag and 11 is back on Friday as well. So looking forward to all that. But that's a bit iffy weekly. We'll be back again next week. Speak to you then.
Progressive presents Don't Do It Yourself.
Okay, fixing a water heater. Easy peasy.
Oh, yeah? So you know how to secure the skiff joint?
Yeah.
Detach the steam pump?
Takes 2 seconds.
And fasten the dooble to the pressure tube?
Yeah, my dad taught me how to do that.
Oh, that's interesting, because I made all those things up. Look, we should just bundle our home and auto with Progressive. We could save big, then pay someone to do it for us.
That's cool. This dooble's the wrong size anyway.
Save when bundling home and auto with Progressive and use the money to, you know, not do it yourself. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
Sports Social Podcast Network.